Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. My co-host Anthony Brooks is off this week. Well, yet another city councilor threw his hat into the mayoral race today. Rob Consalvo said that Boston is a great city. There are ways to make it even greater and to make sure everyone in it benefits from that greatness. To which I say, great. But seriously, today we thought we'd look into another question, the money question, which flows through Boston politics just as it does nationally. Joining us now with more is John Carroll, mass communications professor at Boston University and owner of several blogs, including CampaignOutsider.com. John, good to see you again.
Good to be here.
Okay, so here's what caught our attention. Earlier this week, another city councilor, Felix Arroyo, sent a letter to potential supporters, and he said he was considering a mayoral run, but he was asking for money now because he needed $1 million just to run a competitive race. So, John, $1 million, that seems like a lot.
Yeah, that's a big cover charge for getting into this race, but I think that it's reasonable when you look at how much money you want to be to have going into a race like this. You want as much money as the guy who has the most money.
Okay, well, the guy who's got the most money so far is Dan Conley. He threw his hat into the race yesterday, and according to his most recent filings, the Suffolk County DA entered the race with more than $866,000 in his bank account. So maybe that tells us a little bit about why Arroyo said he needed $1 million.
Right.
What's the money going to be spent for in a Boston mayoral race?
Well, there's going to be a saturation level of television ads in this race. You're going to also want to do a lot of direct mail. This is a limited universe that we're talking about. So you can reach all the people of Boston without too much difficulty. So that's going to be part of it. There's going to be opposition research. You know they're going to go out there digging up some dirt on the other candidates. And in general, they're going to want to have the ability to ramp up an organization, especially close to the election, to turn out the vote.
To turn out the vote. Okay. And so this is not even including money that might be spent by other groups.
Right. You might see unions jump in here. You might see business organizations jump in here. I mean, one of the things we haven't seen is a serious candidate from the business community. That could be an X factor in this. And if a serious candidate comes in from the business community with serious money, then all of a sudden, you've got a whole different equation.
Got it. Well, let's look back in time a little bit for some context, because we looked up numbers from the 2009 mayoral race, which, of course, Tom Menino won. But in that race, he spent $2.6 million. And his two primary opponents, Michael Flaherty and Sam Yoon, those two gentlemen in combination spent $2.1 million. So that's just under $5 million on a race that had a strong incumbent in it.
The rule of thumb in politics is whoever spends the most money wins about 90% of the time. So add to that Menino's position as a 16-year incumbent. You had an almost insurmountable challenge for anyone to beat him under those circumstances. And it was true in virtually every race he ran from 1997 on. The candidates virtually all lost 2-1. So this was difficult from the start, made more difficult by the fact that Menino had more money.
Okay. So here's the thing, John. This is the first open race that we've had in 20 years. And does that mean that we could potentially see even more money spent this time around than we have in previous races? Because maybe the Tom Menino political machine actually might have put a cap on how much other people could raise.
It was hard for the challengers to raise money in every one of those races. There are a lot of people who had Tom Menino put the fear of God in them, and they just didn't want to donate. So this one, I think you're going to see a lot more money than $5 million spent. The $5 million, they'll blow by that probably by September.
But here's what I want to really know. As you said, Boston's a finite universe. If you could walk this city, what happened to old-fashioned knocking on doors, hat in hand, I'm here to ask you for your vote, ma'am, kind of retail politics?
That's going to be a major factor as well. They're going to be knocking on doors like crazy. You're going to want to have some kind of poll be off or something to spray on your doorstep to keep them away. There is going to be a lot of retail politicking. There'll be a lot of retail politicking in the old traditional sense. There'll be a lot of social media retail politicking. I mean, this is going to be a race that's going to be present in people's lives on a day-to-day basis.
Okay. Well, on the national level, we're getting used to really big money in campaigns. We came through a billion-dollar presidential campaign. How much of that, in terms of the growing importance of money, is filtering down to the municipal level in Boston?
I think there are other factors. Money is not the only factor that's going to matter here, but it's going to matter a lot, and it's going to allow people to rise to the top tier because, number one, they can pay their way to the top tier. But number two, the news media are going to look at the candidates and say, who's most credible? And a dollar figure goes with most credible very often. So the news media are going to tier these candidates, too. If there's nine candidates, there'll be three tiers. And one of them will be the top tier, and those are the candidates who'll get the most attention. And one of the ways that you judge who's in what tier is by the resources they have. So I think from that standpoint, it will be important, and it'll be important early.
Well, John Carroll is a mass communications professor at Boston University and the blogger at campaignoutsider.com and a well-loved Radio Boston regular as well. John, thanks so much for coming in.
Always a pleasure, Magna.
Well, listeners, coming up, the Carolina Chocolate Drops mix beatbox style with old-time Southern music. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.